You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to what? Oh, I forgot the name of my podcast.
Cage Match?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, here we go. Let's try it again. Welcome back to Cage Match, a podcast we've not recorded in so long that I forgot the name of when we first tried to record the intro.
I remember all my life, raining down as cold as ice. Shadows of a man, a face through a window, lying in the night. The night goes into morning, just another day. Happy people pass my way. Looking in their eyes, I see a memory I never realized. How happy you made me, oh man. But you came and you gave without taking. But I sent you away, oh Mandy. Will you kiss me and stop me from shaking? And I need you today, oh Mandy.
One, two, three, four.
Standing on the edge of time, I walked away when love was mine. Caught up in a world of uphill climbing. Here's all in my eyes and nothing is rhyming, oh Mandy. Well, you came and you gave without taking. But I sent you away, oh Mandy. Well, you kissed me and stopped me from shaking. And I need you today, oh Mandy.
With me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Murder.
Hi.
Hi, Murder.
What's up?
And also with us, as you can... Really?
That's Rue.
That's Rue. I don't know that I'm going to edit that. I'm just going to let you listen to my dog bark because dogs are cuter than me anyway. And I'm Justin. So we're sorry it's been, God, 2 months more? 2 months. About 2 months,
I think.
It has
to be, yeah.
Since we put out the episode that was already late because that one had to be re-recorded.
Yeah, Skate or Die happened, man. And then I had the busiest month of my life.
Right, it's been nuts. But it's just about Thanksgiving. By the time this podcast comes out, it will be Thanksgiving. And hopefully everybody's enjoying their food coma and watching some football or
wearing
not football.
Pants.
Or whatever. Yeah, whatever you do on your Thanksgiving weekend, enjoy it. We're planning that this is the first of many consecutive monthly in a row actually recording podcasts.
Yeah, we had a conversation where like, should we just like do this podcast? And you're like, yeah, let's do it. Before we weren't serious about it, now we are.
We're gonna do it.
We're so serious. We've committed.
And yeah, I mean, we really want to explore this important question of to Nick or not to Nick.
I've already answered it.
Yeah, you have answered. You answer it every
but I guess
episode.
We have to do the research.
Yeah, so well, because we're back in person, we actually get to start with a drink.
So good.
An adult beverage, which I think we're both about halfway into at this point. I'm serving our drinks in mason jars because it just felt like it fit the aesthetic of Mandy
to
me.
Yeah.
And I happen to have two mason jars laying around from moonshine, different moonshines that we had. Both butterscotch moonshines that I had around. But there is no butterscotch moonshine in this. There is, however, Pennsylvania Dutch cinnamon eggnog, as well as Fireball, because I knew Murder had a long week and needed her Fireball.
I do.
And I needed a lot of caffeine to discuss this movie because it's a little bit slow. So it's in coffee.
It's so slow.
So I think it's pretty tasty. You like my drink?
I love it. I think it tastes so good. I'm very happy. It's
I initially
very
figured
warm.
Like it needed to be a red or purple drink because everything in the movie is red or purple. But I just went with coffee because I figured I needed it.
I think the Fireball is a good tie-in, though, because,
and
you know.
I did give you a purple straw. Fire.
Yeah.
So there you go.
We got it.
Yeah, so, it's nice. All right, so that works. So
delicious.
We have our drink. We're happy. We're agreeing on the drink. I don't know what we'll agree on moving forward. We'll see. But so you said you had a really busy month. Anything that you want to highlight that was good?
Yeah, I mean, I guess... we had so much stuff going on at the rink.
Right.
It was so...
You had a whole bunch of events, including the one that like I put together. But
yeah.
Then a lot of other
which
ones,
which was
too.
Great. Yeah. But it was just so busy. I was at the rink probably every day for like 3 weeks straight.
It seemed like nuts. It. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but it was good. It was a good month. We had good Halloween times, and things are slowing down finally.
That's awesome. And you know, and I put together that film festival.
It was
and
so
then
good.
I
was
so
fun.
Tired after
I
the
know.
Film festival. That oh, and maybe because on the first day of the film festival, I broke my foot.
Yeah, that was wild.
So, you know, as you were aware, because you were there, I hobbled for 2 days through a film festival.
It was insane.
And then at the end of the second night, I took off my shoe and everybody made...
I almost threw up.
Everybody made me get into the car. My wife drove me to the ER and they finished cleaning up without me because it was bad.
I almost threw up when I saw your foot. It was so gross.
It was really gross. The doctor looked at me and went... What the hell did
it
you
looked,
do?
It looked like you had like advanced frostbite on your foot because of how like
I wrapped it so tight.
It
yeah, I wrapped it so tight because I knew I had to get through the day, and it just spread all of that
so
black and
horrible.
Blue everywhere. And I had a lot of colors on my foot. That
yeah,
just, much more colorful my foot than this movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it kind of matches.
Well, yeah, actually, purples, reds. But I also had a lot of like weird like greens and yellows that don't belong. On your foot?
It was very confusing to look at.
It was. But that screwed up my whole month because for like the next 2 weeks, I couldn't drive.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so I worked from home, which was fine. But like, you know, I was, you know, and I can't take NSAIDs, so that's not fun. Mm. So like the throbbing was no good. But I'm over it.
Yeah.
I actually walk fine now. I'm walking normal. My foot looks
good
pretty
job.
Normal. So that, you know, but I did get to watch some good movies.
Yeah, that was... The film fest was so fun. It really was so much
Did
fun.
You have a favorite of what we played?
The Gate. I've
Gate
never
so
seen it before
That's
in my
awesome.
Life.
That's wild to me.
Yeah, so it was really good to watch. But it was just like the general vibe. It was so much
it
fun.
It was fun. I mean, like, so we're obviously, you know, behind the scenes, we're going to try to get more people out next year and have like, you know, we learned some stuff and I'm going to make these rink folks like Murder help me plan a little more so I can get the rink crowd in.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a really good time, and I had a blast. I saw all the movies ahead of time, seeing as I programmed the festival. But actually, interestingly, the one short film I played, which I believe you walked out of, because it was every time we meet for ice cream, my whole fucking face explodes.
Oh, yeah.
I
That was so gross.
It was really gross. But it's like this delightful, lovey like story until like this girl's face explodes.
It was insane.
And... I had not watched that till the day of the festival when I was running my sound check and I put it through and I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. Because one of our other people that helped plan the festival picked that movie, so I hadn't actually seen it.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Everything else I'd seen quite a few times. I'm glad you liked The Gate. The Gate's so much fun.
Yeah, it was such a fun movie. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with that movie. And,
yeah.
My kids watched that too young. I think when I showed it to Cash and Weston, Cash might have been six, Weston might have been like four. And Weston ran out of the room screaming
Aww.
When the father's head implodes. early-ish in the movie, we paused it and we stopped watching it. And later that night, my six-year-old son, Cash, at the time, who's now 14 as of yesterday, which is crazy.
Happy birthday, Cash.
He says to me, can we watch the rest of that movie, Dad? So, yeah. Aww. So he and I watched it back then. And that actually was his first movie that he ever told people was his favorite movie
Aww.
For a long time.
That's so sweet.
Let's talk a little bit about Nick Cage and what he's been up to.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I know, right? While we were doing film festivals and things at rinks, Nick Cage, he was getting cast in a movie called Sands and Stones, which looks fine. I mean, I'll be honest with you, it looks fine. It stars the kid who played Bill in It Chapter One, and then Nick Cage as I guess
the kid from Stranger Things.
No, Bill's the The one whose little brother gets kidnapped. He's in a couple things recently. He was in a movie called Metal Lords, which I absolutely love. One of my favorites of the year. I think you would love that. It's like a... I'd call Metal Lords a... like a coming-of-age, like, romantic comedy, but takes place in the world of high school kids playing black metal music.
That's fucking awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
I want to watch that.
So he's one of the main kids in that, and he's in a few things. He was in a Stephen King movie on Netflix recently, but the point of the story is, it stars Nick Cage and him. And it says it's a survival action thriller about a father and his twin sons, so I guess there's another kid, trying to survive ferocious creatures that attack their farmhouse.
Do you think Nick Cage has an accent in it?
I hope so.
That he's not going to.
The question is, does he have it in the whole movie or just in part of the movie, right? Because that's been an ongoing theme with our discussions recently.
Every fucking movie that he has an accent in is dropped all the time.
And the other thing is the first poster and shots came out for Renfield, which I posted a picture in a group that you and I are in, and you said you were barfing. It stars the movie starring Nicholas Hoult. Are you a Nicholas Hoult fan?
I do like Nicholas Hoult, yeah.
So he plays Renfield, which is, if you're not familiar, it's Count Dracula's henchman, like main, like, you know, human that helps him.
Yeah.
But the Dracula character is played by Nick Cage,
who has an accent in that one, right?
Oh, he's got it, right?
He has to.
It's Dracula. He's got to. I want to whatever.
I do have a new respect for accents, though, since I did Rocky Horror Picture Show in October. And I was two different characters. I was Dr. Scott and the narrator. So I do have kind of an appreciation for how hard accents are.
Great Scott.
Great Scott.
Love it. Those are the things that I've noticed that he's been doing right now. I'm sure we'll have to see those at some point.
I feel like all of his roles now are just like playing into the fact that he's like hacky. I feel like that's what Renfield is going to be. I think he's going to be like really bad in it, but in a like purposeful way.
Like in the opening scene where he's over the top in the incredible weight of
massive talent.
In massive talent where he's like overacting intentionally. Yeah. You think he's going to be like that for a whole movie?
Yeah, I think like he realized like how well audience members like responded to it, because I was like, oh, he's just like making fun of himself now.
Yeah, when I wonder if in a year or two of doing this podcast, he could win you over just by the fact that he is willing to admit he's bad by the end.
Yeah.
That could maybe win you. Like that might be the one thing that wins you over.
If he just has an interview and he says, you know, I've never claimed to be an actor. I think I would be like, all right, cool.
Well, actually, he does say that, but he says that's just the opposite. He goes to the, I actually like the word thespian.
Yeah.
That's
even worse.
It is much worse. That made me
hate him worse.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty bad. Well, and with that in mind, I think this next movie is that we're going to talk about today, Mandy, which got a lot of rave reviews and really is big in the horror world as well as outside of the horror world. Kind of showcases both of those. His art house thespian side and then his extreme overacting insanity.
Yeah.
Which one may argue are one and the same and some like, but in this movie it feels like it's two different characters in a lot of sense to me.
The movie was just so fucking horrible.
All right, so before we get into how horrible the movie is, let's see what IMDb, their little description, and we'll also see what maybe some folks...
At Rotten Tomatoes,
think about this movie. So, on IMDb, it says, the enchanted lives of a couple in a secluded forest are brutally shattered by a nightmarish hippie cult and their demon biker henchmen, propelling a man into a spiraling, surreal rampage of vengeance. I mean, that's actually a really good description of this movie.
Yeah, it's way better than the one on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes is like, it's a movie.
Yeah.
Actually, wow. Theirs is not good. You're right. But on the other hand, what is good is what people rated this movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm.
So we'll start with the audience. So we're audience members. We're not critics. Although I guess I am technically a critic.
Yeah, I think you are.
but I'm not certified on Rotten Tomatoes. I have also never applied. Maybe I should. I don't know. Whatever.
Do it.
I don't know that I care enough. But audience of 2,500 plus ratings. That's a lot of ratings for a movie on Rotten Tomatoes. Give it a 67% score. So that's pretty high. Not extraordinarily. There are movies that audiences give 80, 90% on here. But yeah, 67%. So that's pretty high. But critics, on the other hand, They fucking love this movie.
Yeah.
90%.
Yeah, which is crazy because I feel like horror movies get chopped up like a lot by critics.
Except when they're art house.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie is, at least for the first half.
It's so stupid.
So,
I'm like the opposite. I want like a real like old school horror movie type.
Mm-hmm.
I think like the art house ones are fucking annoying. Like every sort of like artsy horror movie I've seen, I'm just like, it's super slow.
Mm-hmm.
Like the shots are like so contrived. They're just like, oh my God, it's going to be great. Like so poetic. It'll be black and white with like a tree and a perfect like person hanging from it. And it's like, cool. Like we get it. Like you were going for something beautiful.
What's interesting is like, I have a very few number of directors and folks that are like in the art house mm-hmm. world that I like, but there are yeah. a few. I don't expect you to have any idea who Alejandro Jodorowsky is. However,
he's my best friend, Justin. Yeah.
He's actually still alive at like 97.
Yeah, that's why he's my best friend.
He's a crazy dude. But Jodorowsky films are batshit insane movies, which is probably mm-hmm. why I can get over the art house of it. But it is very art house in nature. His shots are so overly composed and, you know, all that. But God, is he a nut? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, unfortunately, I don't think he's ever worked with Nick Cage, so I can't force you to watch one of his movies. But we could imbibe some substances and watch them together with a group of friends, and I actually think it would be a really fun night.
Let's do it.
So that might have to happen sometime. I won't specify on what substances, but it is a we are medical marijuana in this state, so yeah. We can imbibe if we have cards.
Yeah, let's go do that for my glaucoma.
Yeah, and my anxiety. That's what the doctor.
Oh, said. I actually do have like 7 conditions that I can yeah. get a card for. I always forget that.
Even though it's an aside, you know. The list of conditions to get a medical marijuana card is really long.
I know. When it first came out, it was like 5 conditions, and now it's like 200.
Right. And actually, when it first came out in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. you had to get it through one of 5 medical marijuana yeah. hospitals. Mm-hmm. And the only one in our area was Temple. And then, or
yeah,
Drexel
now you can
or
go
whatever.
Online.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's great. And there's dispensaries in like every town.
Oh, God. So, God bless weed.
Well, and my wife was just in Colorado, and it's yeah. recreational there. So her and her cousin, and she got over there. Because you can't bring marijuana on a flight because of federal law.
Yeah.
So while you might have a medical card here, you can't just bring it with you when you go
yeah,
places.
When I went to Colorado, that was something that was lost on me. I was like, oh, I was high as balls. And I was like, I can bring all this weed to the airport back home with me. And there's like a bunch of signs like
everywhere. Do not.
Hey stoner, dump it now. Like all these trash cans everywhere. It's like, come on, dummy.
Yeah. Although I have heard at this point in the world that pretty much if you get caught, they just confiscate. It's,
yeah.
It's not a big deal, even though they technically can fine and do all that stuff, but they yeah. don't really. But that said, her cousin, like one of the first stops after they got, she's like, let me bring you over to our dispensary.
Perfect.
And so, yeah, so I got some play-by-play on some cool stuff from out there. But, yeah. Of course, you know. That said, this movie would probably be pretty good on some substances as well.
Yeah, I feel like that's the only way that one could watch it. This review, though, for Rotten Tomatoes, I'm dying to read.
I want to hear it. Yeah, let it play for me.
Unwatchable. Bad. Boring. Choosing to watch this movie is like paying for a migraine.
All right. So I'm not quite that far. So let me before I even get into your initial thoughts, let me tell you about my first watch and my rewatch here. So my first watch of this movie, back when it first came to Blu-ray, I did not see it in the theater. But I got a early copy of the Blu-ray before it came out anywhere else because I review things, and I liked it.
Yeah,
and I liked it with a note in my review that I thought with future watches I'd like it more. Guess who was wrong?
Yeah,
I don't like it more.
No,
I don't like it much at all anymore.
Yeah,
I
totally get that.
My problem with it is that, like, I do think the back end has some really cool, insane, fun stuff. It's really hard to get there.
Mm-hmm.
The movie moves so slow, and and while we said maybe some substances would help, my problem is sometimes on substances, time goes slower.
Yeah.
And it might even be worse.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how I'd do. Maybe it'd be like take something in the beginning and hope it kicks in around halfway.
Yeah.
Because that first half of the movie, when I was rewatching it, my son came in and said, how long are you in? He said, about an hour. I said, yeah, I think about 40 minutes. I said, but it feels like I've been watching it for like 6 hours so far.
Yeah, that's like one of my biggest hangups with that is how slow it moves.
Yeah.
It's like you're losing audiences so quickly yeah. with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and so Panos Cosmatos, the director, he The movie he did before this was called Beyond the Black Rainbow. Mm-hmm. And it's also like an art house horror sci-fi thing. Super, if I remember, I've never watched it. People talk about it all the time. And the way they describe it makes me not want to see it because it's art housey and not super linear, meaning it doesn't like follow a straight story. But this kind of feels the vibe of what they've said. Before I get into all the specifics, tell me about yours because you've now watched it twice as well.
Yes.
Okay, so you watched it initially to prepare for our first episode, then we changed gears. So.
I know, months ago.
I know.
Yeah, so I took notes when I first watched it, and I was like, you know what? Let me do a quick little rewatch just to get like a little bit of a refresher.
A quick little rewatch.
Yeah, that shit took forever. It took. I paused so many times to like walk away because I was getting so impatient.
Right.
Because you know I have ADHD, so
sure.
If somebody's talking slow, I want to die. So if a film is slow, I extra want to die. Like it's so bad. So I did a rewatch, and I stand by every single note I took. Which I'm sad I forgot my notes because they were really good. But
we can post them later.
Yeah. Like here's all the notes I forgot. But yeah, my biggest problem with it was, you know, so I'm trying, as we're going along in this process, I'm trying to step away from my hatred of Nick Cage a little bit and just look at the movie as a whole so I can decide, is it a bad movie or is it a bad, like, actor?
Sure, you know what I mean?
Like Con Air, for example. Fucking awesome movie. Terrible actor. Sure. Like that is a definitive, like everything about that movie was amazing. He was the worst part in it.
Okay.
So I'm trying to dissect it a little bit more like that. And this is a movie where I can definitely stand by, like both were bad. And I think that like the cinematography of it was gorgeous.
Sure. It's a gorgeous film.
Super beautiful to look at. But the plot really wasn't that thick. Like,
oh no.
It was the easiest plot, like, ever. And there was nothing much to it. And they made it sound like this, like, astounding, groundbreaking story. And it wasn't. It was just a very beautiful movie. Like, that's all I came down
to. Yeah, it was pretty. But like, I tend not to like something that's filmed in one color. And it was all shades of red and purple. I mentioned that earlier. So, like, I struggled with that. Yeah. Of course, like, they were meant, like, the red and purple, a lot of times when it was only red and purple, was meant to denote, like, that weird dreamlike, they were in a hallucination haze kind of thing. They were all drugged and whatever with these weird hippies. But, like, even when it slips out of that, I feel like it slips out of that for, like, a couple minutes and goes right back into it.
Yeah.
And the color palette's just a little bit too much for me.
Yeah, I feel like they really just all did a lot of LSD in college and thought it would be really great to try to use color as a way to describe like the constant in and outs, like the highs and lows.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what they did. Like they're just like, this is what it feels to like trip.
Mm-hmm.
And here's like a color representation, which I think is like a pretty cool idea. But like this one review says, if I was still 18 and heavy into drugs, this would have been a fun movie.
Sure.
Like it would have been so much more if I think I was younger and like if I was 18, I saw this, I think I would love it. You know what I mean?
I think the dogs agree that they might love it if they were
a little high
too.
That's bullshit. You would hate it.
Yeah. But so like for, you know, it's interesting you say that is that. So I was a straight edge kid when I was 18.
Yeah.
So I didn't so much as touch nothing.
Yeah.
But in my adult age, I don't use anything heavy. So I've never messed with LSD or things like that. I do feel like some of those things might make this feel a little more pleasurable as a
You
movie.
Know what's really funny though that you say that you're a straight edge kid? I was a straight edge poser.
Oh sure.
So like to fit in with my friend group, I'd be like, yeah, straight edge to the end. And then like on the weekends I'd be with my sisters like smoking pot and like going to bars like super underage.
Hey.
Straight edge poser all the way.
I used to X up my hands. I actually...
I did too.
twice in my senior year of high school, I was at parties that got busted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so I wasn't a militant straight edge. Clearly, I was hanging out with people drinking and smoking and whatever. But I didn't do it myself.
Yeah.
So one of those parties, I had been sick all week. Mm-hmm. But I like felt better. I went to work. I got off of work at 9 and went straight to like a friend's house that they were having a party. I didn't realize what kind of party it was until I got there and realized like I was the oldest person there
because
it was mostly my like 15-year-old friends and I was 18. I wasn't 18 yet, which is actually a point in the story because I could have actually been in trouble. But I was just under 18. I was 17 and change, and I went there and I got there and I was like, shit, This is a bunch of like sophomores that are high and drunk as shit. And so I like got there. I was there for like 15 minutes and I turned to my one friend and I said, hey, we're leaving in 20 minutes. And he goes, I didn't come with you. I'm not leaving with you. I said, dude, you have to cross a highway to get home. And you said you were going to walk. Nope. I'm going to drive you home. I'm driving you home. And yeah, so we're leaving in 20 minutes. Sure enough, I say we're leaving in 20 minutes and boom, boom, boom on the front door.
Are you kidding me?
And I was like, motherfucker. Right. So I look at the people. And I go, oh, fuck, it's the cops. And I went to walk out the back door. And of course, there's a cop standing at the back door. And so I just turned around and sat at the living room while he gathered up the rest of the kids. And it was funny. So I would X up my hands at a party just so people didn't even ask if I wanted a drink. It just made my life easier.
Yeah.
And what's really funny is there was a young cop and an old cop. It was almost like actually what you think a movie would show. And the young cop understood what the X meant and whatever. The old cop kept insisting I was drunk because my eyes were glassy. And I'm trying to tell him, like, I had a cold earlier this week. I'm sure my eyes are glassy.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm articulate. And I'm straight up talking to you.
Yeah.
I was like, here's my problem. If I call my dad to come get me, that's no big deal. My dad knows I don't drink and won't care.
Yeah.
My problem is my dad's asleep in bed and now I have to come back and get my car in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's a pain in my ass. Can't I just drive the car home? Well, no, you're drunk. I said, you want to bring me down to the station and I'll wait till you're done with the rest of these kids. You can bring me to the station and test me and then bring me back to my car.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you're drunk. You're drunk. The young guy tried to explain it to him. Old cop was like, no. So I called my dad. So when the cop, when my dad comes, and my dad trusted me. Like, I've always been straight with my parents about everything. My dad trusts me. He gets there and he goes, so is my son allowed to drive his car home? So he doesn't have to come back tomorrow. And he goes, well, once I give him to you, it's up to you. But he's drunk. You shouldn't do it. My dad looks and goes, Justin, you want to drive your car home? I said, yeah. He turns and looks at the cop and goes, all right, I'll see you at home. It was so great. Like, he yelled it right at the cop's face. It was the greatest thing.
That's amazing.
Oh, it was so awesome. So that was my one story. I've only been busted in two parties. Everyone was a college party, and we got out in time before the cops came with a paddy wagon 10 minutes later.
Yeah, I was always, like, a runner. So, like, when I would go up to Shippensburg to, like, hang out with my friends who went up there because they had the worst best parties. So, like, literally as soon as I heard the cops, because I grew up in Delco, so I have the the ear for it. Like, I can hear them from a mile away. I'm like, oh, shit. And I would, like, grab all the cups that I accumulated because you had to, like, bring a cup to a party to be able to drink.
Sure.
So I would, like, grab all my cups and, like, run out the back door, hop the fence, and, like, run down to the next party.
Oh, man. The stories about Delco girls are all true, guys.
Yeah, they truly are. I'm trash. I'm a little bit more refined now, but I'm still Delco trash. I'm fine with that.
So we veered away from Mandy, but that's okay because neither of us really love the movie. But let's talk a little bit about the movie. We normally do this role reversal where I say some negative things about the movie and Nick, and you say some positive things, and I'm not sure what kind of positive things about the movie you might have to say or negative things. So let's just talk about the movie in general. Let's kind of skip that role.
Yeah. I do have a positive I would like to talk
about.
Yeah,
so let's start with that then.
He didn't talk a lot, so that was nice. Okay. like there was like points of dialogue, but if you look at the movie as a whole, like he wasn't really talking too much, which I loved. Interesting. I was like, this is great. So I feel like he had to rely on physical acting, which I think he's, like, pretty good at.
Okay.
For the most part. But that's the most positive thing I can say about the whole movie.
So, with that in mind, like, I think he's pretty good in the movie. And I think most of the actors are pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't think the acting's the problem.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think the pacing is the problem.
Yeah.
More than anything. And I can do a movie that's not story-based if the movie does something else interesting for me.
Yeah.
And it did interesting things in the back half for me, or the back third.
Yeah.
But until, like, he gets his crossbow and goes nuts.
Yeah.
Until that scene where he goes and picks up his crossbow. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, right before that, when he goes crazy in his underwear in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I do like that.
It's such a Cage thing. It is, but I think he did a good job at it.
Well, though. I'll say this.
It seems genuine.
It's insane, but it's also, like, he just watched his fiance burned alive.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would go insane too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I also like watching it. My son walked in, Weston, my younger son, and he's like, why does he keep splashing the alcohol on his side? I was like, because he got stabbed. He's trying to clean the cutout while he's drinking. That's what part of the screaming. And he's like, oh.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because like every time he splashes, he screams louder, and then he's like, why? I was like, because he just put alcohol on his cut.
Yeah.
Because he literally got stabbed with a freaking dagger in his side. I mean, I actually think all the actors in it do what they're told.
Yeah,
well.
For sure.
I just don't, like, I have a hard time, like, caring. I do love the design of what I refer to as the Cenobikers, because mm-hmm. the bikers look like Cenobites to me. Mm-hmm. You brought up LSD earlier.
Yeah.
I like the backstory of the fact that they had a bad trip.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so this is like Bill Duke when he goes and gets the crossbow, and Bill Duke from Predator is there, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I just, every time I see him, I just want to go, I'm going to have me some fun. But I see Bill Duke, and he's explaining how these bikers came to be, these black skulls.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with them is, like, they did this bad... They used to run drugs.
Yeah.
And they were tough guy biker drug runners. Until they did, like, a bad batch of LSD, and they... But, like, how does a bad batch of LSD essentially turn you into a demon? Because yeah. they're not human anymore. They're just not human. Not. There's no fucking way.
It kind of reminded me of, like, Clockwork Orange. Hmm. You know, like, the whole crew was really fucked up, and they attributed it to the milk that they were drinking with the drugs in it.
Interesting. Interesting reference. Yeah, I like
that. But, like, that's the vibes I got from it. But they are not human, and that's never explained. And I think that's why I don't like this movie, is because there's no plot to it. There is a plot. It's very simple.
Right. Well, it's explained, but it's explained as they took bad LSD and now they're suddenly not even human.
It's just too simple of a plot for such a movie. Like, for how long it is.
Yeah, it's like, almost 2 hours.
There needed to be more dialogue. There needed to be more depth to these, like, certain parts.
I guess it is 2 hours, I believe, right?
Yeah, which is a fucking long movie.
Yeah, it is.
So, like... It was a very simple plot. It was like, they're super happy. This gang gets this girl. They burn the girl alive. The guy goes nuts. He gets revenge. Like, and that's it. That's all there is to it. And I feel like had they even given, like, maybe, like, 30 more minutes to, like, driving the plot home, like, it would have been better. But since it was, like,
remove
so thin,
30 minutes of just cool, picturesque stuff and put in actual, like, interesting
dialogue
plot.
Something. Sure. Yeah. Like, it was just too simple of a dialogue for such a short movie.
But, like, the design of those bikers made me think that Panos Cosmatos, the director, should have been directing a Hellraiser movie.
Yeah.
Because I wanted a Hellraiser movie in this world.
Yeah.
Because it felt like a Hellraiser movie, except it was missing elements I would have wanted in my Hellraiser movies.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, like, I like bad Hellraiser movies and good ones. It's actually a genre. It is almost a genre. But it's a franchise I love. So, like, while, like, a lot of people love the first one or first two or three and then, like, kind of fade off, I love the bad ones.
Yeah.
Even though I know the whole story, and for those who aren't familiar with Hellraiser, and I'm not sure how familiar you are with the series, but what they did is, because they didn't want to lose the IP, they would buy scripts that had nothing to do with Hellraiser and just insert Pinhead into them.
Really?
So for the movies, like, 5, 6, and 7, those were written to have nothing to do with Hellraiser until they bought the script and inserted Pinhead.
That's bananas.
So, like, that's why, like, for instance, the fifth one, which is one of my favorites and stars, I call him Uncle Keith from One Tree Hill, Craig Schaefer. I'll always call him Uncle Keith.
Yeah.
Stars Uncle Keith, and he it's like a police procedural, and it's a really cool story. Probably would have been a better movie if not a Hellraiser movie, to be completely honest. But I still love it.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it just works in that regard. But I felt like this movie, with a couple tweaks and making them actual Cenobites, would have been really cool.
Yeah.
And so, like, to me, like, every time I watch the back end, especially this movie, I'm like, man, this could have been a good Hellraiser movie.
Yeah, it could have been something. There were so many different things that they could have done to, like, make it. So it kind of reminds me of, like, you've seen Don't Worry, Darling, right?
Uh-huh, I love
it. Okay, great movie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, like, spoil it, but also a very simple storyline.
Oh, yeah, very simple.
There's
yeah.
not a lot to it. However, every artsy thing that they did, every, like, flashback...
It advanced the plot.
It advanced the plot, mm-hmm. or it enhanced it or highlighted certain parts
you.
Of it.
I'm with you, yeah.
So, like, if they just did something like that during these arty fucking shots of just, like, a fucking, I don't know, like, the forest, but in blue, like, it could have been different. Like, I feel like if they added flashbacks or, like, how the fuck this gang got to be demons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they could have done that, like, a hallucination where he figures out, he sees the moment they transformed.
Or maybe that would have been demons. how to actually take them out would be to see how they became what they are.
Yeah, like take a fucking drug and then all of a sudden you're in their world and then you can follow where they are. Like, there could have been so many things that they could have added.
Uh-huh.
You can have a simple plot line. It doesn't have to be twists and turns.
Sure.
It can be predictable. Like, Don't Worry, Darling, I feel like was pretty predictable, but beautiful the way they did it. Like,
I liked it a lot too.
Yeah. But, like, you can have a predictable or a, you know, very simple plot line. You just really need to do things to, like, drive the plot home, like, put that person in the world. Like, I'm confused. Why are these no longer humans?
Right. And I
know?
Yeah. And I have friends who, you know, I'm in the film Twitter and film world who are going to listen to this and be like, oh, you're missing the point. And I know I am. But I'm okay with that.
But
because I don't love it.
What's the point?
Well, that's a good point. Like, what is the point? Right.
Tell me what the point is. Like, right. Help me understand.
But, like, I just... And the thing is, like, the recipe minus the art house thing...
Yeah.
...is perfect for me. The art house thing does throw the recipe off. But if you go, like, it's about a cult. Mm, I love...
I fucking love cults. Yeah.
I love Nick Cage. You don't. But yeah, whatever.
It's fine. But I love to hate him still, though. So right. I still would love to see it.
So there's still something about him, yeah. The crazy, weird biker thing. Like, a lot of this stuff really fits things I like in horror movies.
Yeah.
But, like, it's the pacing. I bet you if you took this movie and you could cut 20 minutes out of it, mm-hmm. and you cut it mostly out of the first half.
Yeah.
Because I do think the second half, especially the back third,
picks up, yeah.
is really strong. Well, stronger.
Yeah.
So, I think that if that was the case, if this was an hour and a half to an hour and 40 minutes and we shortened the stuff. And, like, the thing is, like, I hate to say it in some sense in that Andrea Riseborough, I think, is really good.
Mm.
But I just don't like her portion of the movie.
Yeah, I don't either.
So it's not her fault I don't like it. I just don't like it.
Yeah, it just feels like very, it's very beautiful, but very poorly executed.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe this movie.
Man, we are agreeing way too much on this episode.
I know, poor Nick Cage, R.I.P. Really,
and the thing is, where we disagree.
I didn't hate him too much in it. Like, yeah. I wasn't like, oh,
it's
God.
Almost like the movie's so annoying to you that you can't even be as annoyed at him.
Yeah, like that. I think that's like a big thing because I'm trying to like step away from my hatred a little bit and look at the movie. And like the movie at its core is just not great.
Yeah.
Like it's just not a great movie. It's very gorgeous. It's just horribly executed.
Yeah. And I think people like, so if you're listening to this and you haven't seen the movie, we haven't really spoiled a ton of it, really. Because there isn't a lot to spoil.
I'm going to do it right now. Just kidding.
If you haven't seen it for some reason and you like artsier movies or movies that are less about plot and more about just how they look and stuff like that, I think you will like it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just not what I tend to value in a movie.
Yeah.
And so therefore, I had a hard time with it. And like there are exceptions in that world. But this isn't one of them.
Yeah, and like, I just would like, this is like my call to action. Can somebody explain what we're missing? Because I'm looking at these reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, like all the good reviews. They're saying the things that we're saying. Like, they're saying like, beautifully done. Like, gorgeous cinematography. Gorgeous this, whatever. What are we missing that we hate it so much? You know what I mean? Are the critics only looking at this movie and that's it? Like, just looking, physically looking at this movie, and that's the only thing they're rating it on? Because like, plot wise it sucks. Like, it's not great. Like, the execution of it, not great. They should have went into the fucking demon biker gang more. They should have went into like a different perspective in the movie. I feel like we're just like looking at this sad man the entire time. Like, there was no other perspective. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So somebody explain it to me.
So what's interesting is his dad, Panos Cosmatos' dad, was also a director. I don't know if you know that. George Cosmatos.
No, I didn't.
So the director's dad is a director. But here's the thing. I'm going to name movies that his dad did. And I fucking love his dad.
Yeah.
So I'm not the biggest Tombstone guy, but people, if you like Westerns, it's a great Western.
I do like Westerns.
So if you haven't seen Tombstone from 1993, fantastic Western.
Gotta watch it.
Leviathan, which is like a really cool, like, underwater sci-fi horror.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of that. He did Cobra, which is a Stallone movie, which even if it's a interesting Stallone movie because it's like Stallone as kind of this badass detective, but it opens up with this crazy shootout, like the coolest like action shootout. And then it's a little more like, but it's got a bit of a horror edge because he's tracking like a serial killer.
Oh, gotcha.
It's really cool. And then the next movie he did after Cobra, or actually right before Cobra, I'm sorry, is he did Rambo. First Blood Part 2.
Really?
So like when Rambo became Rambo. Because the first Rambo, First Blood, is not what people usually think of. They think of the first one, but they're actually thinking of the second one. The second one's where it's like First Blood Part 2 is Rambo.
Yeah.
So like that's the stuff he did before Rambo, I'm not as familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
But like from Rambo on, it's a cool like action and like genre catalog.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that his son went crazy art house.
Yeah.
And he's like, I mean, I'm sorry, but like Rambo, Cobra, Leviathan, there's nothing art house about those movies at all. Tombstone is like a straight ahead Western.
They're beautifully directed.
Sure.
Though.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Sylvester Stallone's another one of those actors where I just feel like I can't take him seriously.
Sure.
But I do like most of the movies that he's in, just in general. But every time he starts talking, like, is how he sounds. So it bothers me.
You know, it's hard because he sounds like someone who has, like, he sounds stupid, stereotypically. Yeah. But he's actually an extraordinarily smart dude.
Oh, yeah. I totally believe
that. Who, like, wrote Rocky.
Yeah.
He helped direct it.
Yeah.
You know, that's his, like, that's his baby.
What's going on with his mouth?
I don't know.
What's happening?
And, like,
is he okay?
I don't know. I don't want to put anyone down, but it's funny because the way he talks does make you think, like, oh, he's a boxer who got hit in the head too many times.
That's what I thought. And then I looked it up and he doesn't have a huge boxing career.
No. Oh, not at all. Yeah. No. No, actually, Rocky's kind of what it got him into.
Yeah, right?
So it's kind of
crazy.
I wonder
if, like, during training, because I feel like he wasn't that bad in, like, in Rambo. I don't think he was, like, super bad.
I also wonder
bad,
if he leans into it.
Maybe.
Because it's become his thing.
Adrian.
I don't really know. But that said, we're just going to jump right into it. 1 through 5. What is your rating on this movie?
1.
Oh, man. I'm not that bad. So, all right. So here's, I told you, my first watch, I gave it a 3.5.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. I'm going down to a 2.5, which means like I'm really right in the middle. Because there are enough things I like about the movie to be like, it's not bad.
I'll give it a 1.5 just because I didn't extremely hate Nicolas Cage in it.
And then here's a question about that. Not about that at all. Nicolas Cage isn't even in this part, except he's watching it. Cheddar Goblin. Are you a fan of the Cheddar Goblin commercial?
Cheddar Goblin?
So there's a macaroni and cheese commercial playing that he's in the background watching.
Oh, yeah.
And the commercial, the macaroni and cheese company is called Cheddar Goblin.
Is it a real commercial?
No.
Oh.
It was made for the movie.
Oh, gotcha.
It's become a bit of an internet phenomenon.
Yeah.
To the point where if you remember, we had Gate t-shirts at the festival.
Yeah.
The company who made those Gate t-shirts, they made a Cheddar Goblin shirt.
That's amazing.
That were a big seller for them.
Well,
it's
I want
an interesting, one. In fact, our mutual friend Raven, I think she might have bought the Cheddar Goblin shirt, or she was going to. Because,
that makes sense for her.
Because I sent it to her and she's like, oh my God. Because I remember her being a big fan. And there are, we have a lot of friends who are pretty big fans of this movie. And I thought I was one of them. And I'm not.
Yeah, I feel like we're so split. Like, I feel like everybody I talked to when I told them we were doing Mandy, like all of our friends, they were like, oh my God, it's so good. Or that was
so when
the
they all listen to our podcast, they're
going to
hate us for
a
while.
Yeah, it's like half and half. Like half of them was like, it was the biggest waste of my life. Hmm. And then the other half is like, oh my God, that's my favorite movie with Nick Cage.
Interesting.
So I feel like we're going to get really bad reviews on our podcast.
that's okay. I like to get reviews.
Review us back.
I just want reviews.
Yeah. Rate, review, subscribe. Rate, review us.
Come on now. I mean, and to put that in perspective too, anyone who, if you did rate and review us and requested a copy of Unbearable Weight and didn't get one, shoot me a line because I sent so many out, I forgot.
Or me. There's like so many at the rink. just chilling
we
there.
We may or may not have brought a stack of them to the rink just to give to people. I stopped by a friend's house the other day and handed him 2 copies of it with other stuff. And he's like, I didn't expect to get copies of this movie today. I was like, everyone gets one of these movies. So if you shoot us a rate and review on Apple or Spotify and
you
send me proof.
Message our Instagram.
Yeah, message the Instagram. Let us know. And I'll send you one because I still have at least 20 more, which is insane.
Yeah. So, I feel like there's at least 10 at the ring. Just like chilling. I keep knocking them over.
If you gave it a 1.5, I gave it a 2.5. We're sitting at a 2 on this movie, which is pretty low.
Yeah.
One of our lower movies.
Yeah.
Actually, it might be our lowest. I have to look. I was supposed to, you know, prepare myself on what we've done up until this point, and I don't remember. I want to say we're under 3 total right now, so we're on the low end.
Yeah.
But I think we're hovering in that range of the 2 to 3 range.
Yeah.
Because we both really gave Con Air a high rating.
Yeah, Con Air was so good. I think that was like the saving grace of the pod so far.
And like the Ghost Rider movies, the first one was really bad. The second one was almost as bad.
Yeah.
You know, Unbearable Weight, we were very split on. This one, we're both pretty negative on. So really, we're at a point now where, we need to watch something Christmassy next month.
Ooh.
So I'm going to propose a movie live on air. Live. It's not really live. But live on air, I'm going to propose that we do Trapped in Paradise. Are you familiar with this movie?
No, but is it Christmas?
It's a Christmas-themed comedy crime movie starring Nick Cage, John Lovitz, and Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey.
I think I sold you on it already.
Let's do it.
All right, awesome.
I love Dana Carvey.
My first, my two Christmas movies that came to mind were this and Family Man, and I really didn't want to watch Family Man, which is like a weird fantasy romantic comedy that I've never seen and have been purposely not
seen. It's got real bad reviews, too.
With like Nick really Cage, Tay Leone, and Jeremy. I do love Jeremy Piven, but he's probably the, like, the sidekick like he is in all these other movies, yeah. And not that important. So I'm happy that I didn't have to get to my second recommendation, because the second one I came up with is one I didn't really want to watch. So Trapped in Paradise. So if you want to watch along with us, watch Trapped in Paradise. We'll be back before Christmas with that. So you can hear us talk about that. If you want to tell us how wrong we were about Mandy or how right we were about Mandy, please hit us up on our Instagram or...
Yeah, we're both ready to fight you on this one.
Yeah, or anywhere. I mean, you can reach out to us. You can come to the rink as long as you pay to skate.
We can,
you
can
come
and argue with us. Fight. We can pick an alley and we'll pick a time and we'll fight each other over it.
Also, I do want to plug, if you're in the greater Philadelphia area, this will be out more than in time because we're going to be putting it out in the next couple of days. On December 10th, the roller derby team that you skate for and my wife skates for,
I totally forgot,
has a fundraiser bout.
We do. We have a fundraiser bout. It is December 10th at Ringing Rocks Roller Rink. It's $5 for an entry.
That's awesome.
It's a crowd-controlled bout, which means that you can pay to change the game. So
which
we'll
is
have a
crazy
bunch of
fun, yeah.
A bunch of options, and the theme is Marvel versus DC. So we will have a ton of fun, a ton of giveaways, and it's going towards adopting a family in Pottstown for Christmas, and NAMI, which is the National Association of Mental Illness.
And as someone who regularly attends NAMI conferences and spoke at two of them.
Oh, really?
I'm a big supporter of NAMI, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
And
thanks for reminding me of that.
So today we're going to leave just on that note of saying that please come check out the bout if you're in the greater Philadelphia area. If you're not and you want to still support it, reach out to the team and they can definitely accept any donations you want. And that's really where we're at today. And if you like Mandy, we're sorry. And if you don't like Mandy, we're with you.
We're right there with you.
And we'll see you next month. Hopefully we like Trapped in Paradise a little bit more.
Bye.
I remember all my life raining down as cold as ice, shadows of a man, a face through a window, crying in the night. The night goes into morning, just another day.